Hey everyone, my name is Joel Radecki and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, some are summit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing in any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Well, good morning, church. It is so good to be here with you. It is a privilege to hang out this morning and just open up the book of Psalms together with you. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Noble, and I am the Connections Pastor at our Holly location, as well as I head up all of our security at all 9 locations. And during the winter months that seem to be unending here in Michigan, I get to be Santa as I head up Toys for Tots. And many of you are so essential and key in helping us as a church to love our community through Toys for Tots. So I want to thank you for whatever capacity you do help out with that ministry. Very grateful. I know Pastor Roy always gathers a team for us to go pick up some of our larger pickups of donations for the community. So grateful for you and your help in that. And so a little bit about me. My wife and I have been married for 9 years, and we have 2 incredible children. They're incredibly crazy. They're incredibly wild. We love them so much. But Archer, he's 4.5, and Penny, she's 7 months. And Penny has had an ear infection for the last 2 weeks. Archer has been sick for the last 2 weeks. Haley's been sick for the last 2 weeks. And so last night, I got no sleep. And so that is the life of being a parent. Amen. And grateful for this thing called coffee, and don't hate me, but energy drinks, okay? I know, but, you know, it's a season, okay? I need them, all right? And a little fun fact about me is that Pastor Roy, and it's always difficult for me to say that because Mr. Townsend was my principal for 6th through 12th grade. And even more fun fact is that he has not changed a day in the last 2 decades. And I do always struggle. I'm like, oh, I cannot. He's like, you can call me Roy. I'm like, nope, you will never be Roy. Don't do that to me. I've been in your office many a times. It is Mr. Townsend. And Pastor Phil graduated the year ahead of me. And so it's a little OCS reunion. Although I don't know, Pastor Phil might have had more detentions. Pastor Roy would know about that. So anyways, I digress. But man, we are in our new series. If this is your first Sunday back after Easter, I want to welcome you. And we are going through the book of Psalms this summer. This will be our summer series. Always want to encourage you. You can go back to guest services or grab Pastor Roy, Pastor Phil, any of the staff and say, hey, where can I get the new book? And so I want to encourage you to grab that book at guest services to follow along. It's great. It walks through the book of Psalms, has some daily devotions and stuff that you can walk through as well. Because the reality is Pastor Jason set it up so well last week, talking about expectation, what to expect as we go through this series. And I really love how, you know, we built up Easter and we were in the book of Jonah, right? Going through the narrative of the book of Jonah. And it's a sweet narrative. You have a beginning, a middle, and an end, right? And so it's a very cohesive story. But then we look at the book of Psalms and it can truly kind of be all over the place. We're in Psalm 1 last week. Today we're going to be in Psalm 22, and they are 2 completely different topics. And so that is going to happen throughout the book of Psalms as we go through this summer. But also, you know, a Michigan summer isn't as long as a Michigan winter. And so we will not be able to get through all 150 Psalms on Sunday mornings. And so I would encourage you, this morning we are going to be in Psalm 22, but during the week, crack open your Bible and go through another one of the Psalms. Maybe read Psalm 2, Psalm 3. You know what I mean? You got a little bit of time at lunch, or maybe you're driving. Don't read and drive, but you can listen and drive to one of the Psalms, all right? And just go through that. And then I would encourage you, while you're hanging out in the lobby, getting your coffee before gathering, maybe just, hey, we are family. That's what I love about the River Church, man. We are 9 locations that the Lord has blessed all of us. He has brought us all together as one church. It's a privilege for me to be from Holly and come here and hang out with you guys. But just grab someone and be like, hey, man, I was reading Psalm 3 this week. Let me just share with you what the Lord put on my heart. Because every single one of us has not only been uniquely created, but you have a story. Every single one of us has a story, and the Lord is going to reveal something to you that someone else may not have seen in that psalm or that passage of scripture. So I would encourage you to share that. It's okay. Is it maybe awkward at first? Sure, but guess what? You know, that's part of being a family, is that you get over that awkwardness because you're a family. So all that to say, I would encourage you, don't just show up and be like, okay, I'll read Psalm 1, and then I'll read Psalm 22, and then Psalm 23 next week. No, like, as you're going throughout the summer, let's read through the book of Psalms together. And I would encourage that with you and with your family. And so this morning, we are going to be in Psalm 22. We are going to specifically be looking at David's prophetic writing about Christ in his suffering in Psalm 22. And so I want to open up in prayer, and then we are going to dive in. So God, just come before you. Father, I thank you for this place, Lord. I thank you for every single person here this morning, those listening online, Lord. I ask that your spirit would move, that your spirit would guide, that it would not be my words, but it would be yours, that you are glorified, Father. As we go through this new series, God, I just ask that you would reveal yourself to us, that it would stir up confidence in you, in your word, God. And as we go through those valleys of lament, as David is experiencing in the beginning of this psalm, Lord, may we just find hope, not in this world, but may we find hope in you. And so, God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we are going to be in Psalm 22, beginning in verse 1, but we're going to take a short step back. And you kind of see your header in your Bible. It will say Psalm 22. Some of your Bibles will kind of give you like a phrase of oversight into what the psalm is going to discuss, or maybe a main theme of the psalm. But right under there it says, to the choir master according to the Doe of the Dawn, a psalm of David. And so that is very important. I don't want to skip over that, because that kind of gives us historical context and timeline of when this psalm was written by David. And so before we go into it, this psalm was written about 1,000 years before Jesus' birth. It's very important for us to understand. So this psalm was written 1,000 years before Jesus' birth. And we look at, it says, to the choir master according to the Doe of the Dawn. So that was a song or a tune or a hymn, if you will, that was known by the people. So, you know, kind of like tuning your guitar, right? They're like, okay, we're going to tune it up to Doe of the Dawn, right? So because we know that these psalms are poems and songs that are written. And so beginning there in verse 1 through 5, David writes, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. And you, our fathers, trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. And so as we begin verse 1 here in Psalm 22, coming out of the Easter season, Easter week, for some of you, you may see that first verse, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you are taken back to Good Friday. And I tell you what, Good Friday was so exciting around here. I had the privilege of going to our Goodrich location at 6 o'clock, and then I booked it all the way down here, did not break any speed laws. And I got here before the 8 o'clock, and I pulled in, and I was like, oh my goodness, people are on the grass. They're on the curb. I don't know. Do I get to just curb it? And like, do I get to go on the hill or something? But I didn't. I drove around a little bit and finally got in here, but it was so beautiful coming together as a church to share and partake in communion, remembering what the Lord has done, and certainly taking us to that moment when Jesus was crucified. And these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? I hope that they bring you back to that moment. And if we go to Matthew 27, if you have your Bible there, Matthew 27, it'll be up on the screen as well. But if you want, just give you a heads up, you can keep your finger there. We're going to do a little bit of sword drill this morning, going back and forth between Psalm 22 and Matthew 27. But in Matthew 27, in verse 45 through 46, we read, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And so we have this scene at the cross as Jesus has been beaten and mocked. He has taken the path up to the hill of Golgotha, and he is there on the cross in the final hour. And what does he do? He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the amazing thing about this, many scholars, as we read through understanding the book of Psalms, understanding Psalm 22 being written as a song, it gives the question to and the thought of, was Jesus beginning a song from the cross? In his final moments, as he is hanging there, paying the price for our sins, he begins to cry out this psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? And looking back to history a little, we know that all boys 12 and older were required here. All Jewish boys were required to know and memorize the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, right? So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and also the Psalms. And so as we just kind of envision Jesus hanging there on the cross, surrounded by the Roman soldiers, teachers of the law, and the people of Israel who came out, the Jews who were coming out and surrounding, and as they had cried out for his blood and claiming for his crucifixion, Jesus begins to sing this psalm from the cross. It is not hard to imagine that as they are standing there hearing this, this psalm began to come to light for them. And as Jesus is hanging there on the cross, in their minds, they begin to recite and sing this psalm to themselves. And so having that kind of in the forefront of our memory, I want to walk through several other prophetic verses that the Spirit led David to write here in this psalm. So taking it a step further there in Psalm 22, verse 6, we read, "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him." Going back to Matthew 27 and verse 39, we read, "And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him, for he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. And so we see what David has written here in Psalm 22. We see it prophetically fulfilled at the cross as they are mocking him, as they are wagging their heads at him, as they are yelling, he trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord God deliver him. Let the Lord rescue him. For this man, for Jesus, delights in the Lord. We continue on in Psalm 22, verse 16. For dogs encompass me. And it's not literally talking about dogs, right? This is what David is using as hyperbole to describe and what we can picture in this illustration. I don't know about you, but I go on runs in my neighborhood, and there's always several dogs. And whenever you pass by a dog, what do? They just bark. They're just going crazy, right? Because I don't know what they're thinking. Maybe it'd be fun someday to try and find out what a dog is saying. But they're just like barking off the chain. And so you have this image of these vicious dogs, right? These dogs coming in to prey. And so he says, "For dogs encompass me; a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands." Now, this is where I wanted to really set up historically, understanding that this psalm was written over 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus. Because with it being 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus, the execution of crucifixion was not created until some 500 to 800 years before Jesus's birth. And so we're dealing with David here at 1,000 years before Jesus, and then some 500 to 800 years before Jesus, we now have this prophecy about crucifixion. They have pierced my hands and feet. We go to Isaiah 53, another very prophetic passage of Scripture. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." Continuing on in verse 17, "I count all my bones, and they stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments amongst themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And again, we go back to Matthew chapter 17, verse 35, and we read, "And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments amongst them by casting lots." And again, in John 19, verse 24, we read, "So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, they divided my garments amongst them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things." And so here, as we read through this beginning portion of Psalm 22, verses 1 through 18, we have these five prophetic verses about the suffering Messiah. These were not things that David himself experienced. His hands and feet were not pierced. David's garments were never stripped of him, and he never had soldiers dividing and casting lots to see who would receive his clothing. No, we see that these five verses, as we've just looked to Matthew 27, we see these five prophetic verses fulfilled in one person. We see it fulfilled in one place and time, and that was over 1,000 years after the writing of this psalm here in Psalm 22, and that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It was fulfilled by our loving, perfect Savior. I know for I hope we're not here this morning and thinking, all right, Pastor, well, we just went through Easter week. We understand he's resurrected. Okay, let's move forward. We're in Psalms. But may we never grow weary to the gospel. May we never say, oh, I have heard this before. Or, oh, I know the crucifixion. We've talked about it. Yeah. No, without the gospel of Jesus Christ, without his pierced hands, without the mocking and the beating that Jesus Christ received for our sins, church, we are without hope. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that we must stand on, not just one time in our life, not just saying one time that we believe and we proclaim him Lord of our lives. No, it is the gospel that we must stand every single day of our lives. And I don't know about you, but there are moments in every single day where I need it time and time again to be reminded of the gospel, to stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we read through, really in verses 1 through 5 is really where I believe we see a true lament of David. This is where I truly feel that we see a true lament of David. And then my hope is that you see the rest of Psalm 22, that you see Jesus. Because we read in Psalm 22, 1 through 5, David cries out, he says, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel, and you, our fathers, trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cry out and were rescued, and in you they trusted and were not put to shame. And so understanding that David would have known what had happened to the people of Israel, his forefathers, and their disobedience and their mess ups and their falling short from the Lord. We just got done with our egg hunt, right? That was like 2 weeks ago. For some of us, it's like still kind of in a haze. I went to like an eye doctor appointment last Friday, and she was like, oh, someone's getting married tomorrow. I'm like, why is someone getting married on a Tuesday? And she's like, it's Friday. And I'm like, oh, okay. And, but that's what happens after these outreach, all right? So we kind of have like two of our big outreaches around here, right? We have trunk or treat and egg hunt. And oh my goodness, church, you all came together and helped us pivot because we didn't have a helicopter and it was raining like crazy. Luckily, here in Waterford, we had no flooding, all right? In Holly, I got a call at 7:30. Me and Pastor Caleb showed up and the water was up to here on his legs out back, and they were all like, and I was sharing the story, and they're like, no, it wasn't up to there. It was up to there on him. It was up to here on you. And I was like, okay. I know I'm the shortest guy on staff, all right? And so, but I love it. It was just so sweet to see how many people came in the doors as we pivoted as a church. And we shared Pastor Jason sharing the gospel and the staff here sharing the gospel. You all sharing the gospel in action and word and deed and love to the community. But to be honest, these outreach events can get exhausting. They can get exhausting. But several weeks ago, we had one of my neighbors came to me, and he's like, hey, the Lord's been working. I was like, well, what's been going on? And he said, you know, we came to your trunk or treat event in Holly last year, and my neighbor RJ, he has been an atheist his whole life. His wife is Catholic, grew up in the Catholic Church, and they baptized their daughters through the Catholic Church, and they had to go through catechism in order to get married at the Catholic Church. And he came to me and he was like, you know, we came to Trunk or Treat and you guys gave out that golden ticket. And so he's like, so reluctantly, we came back the next day because the girls wanted a prize. They wanted a toy. And so came back the next day and the Spirit just moved in RJ's life. And the week before Easter, I got to baptize my neighbor, RJ. And it was so sweet. It was so cool, right? I mean, just like It's so awesome to see what the Lord is doing in their life. The Lord was doing through a ridiculous trunk or treat, through a ridiculous egg hunt that we do. But I say all that because then RJ joins my wife and I's young marrieds group in Holly, and we are going through the book of Judges. And so the book of Judges is the first book that he's read in God's word. And I was like, RJ, I'm so sorry. This is not where you should start. Like, it's good. It's God's word. It's good. But, oh, man, he's like, man, this is brutal. I was like, yeah, it's intense. God's word is intense. It's okay. I was like, so we're starting in the book of John now. But I say that because, like, I look to the book of Judges, and it's intense about David understood how his forefathers, they were disobedient, how they cried out to the Lord, right? We see that all through the book of Judges. Them just crying out to the Lord, but them falling to their sin, them finding this hopelessness, this lament, and we see it again, this cycle again of lament, of hopelessness in David's life here in the first five verses of Psalm 22. But the Lord does not leave us without hope. And that's where we pick up in verses 21 through 31. And so we begin in verse 21 of Psalm 22. It says, "Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild ox. And I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. All you offspring of Israel, for he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but he has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. At the end of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you, for kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship before him, shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Prosperity shall serve it, shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it." And so we begin verses 1 through 18 with prophetic lament and suffering of our Savior, Jesus Christ. But then we pivot in verses 21 through 31, and David turns to praise and worship. But we also see fulfillment and relief from our lament. As we read in verse 29, "Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive," because we know that no matter what, when Jesus returns, every knee shall bow and tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And verse 31 is hope. "And they come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it." And we are those people yet unborn, that Jesus took this suffering, that Jesus was mocked and beaten and crucified for us here in 2026. Jesus went to the cross for your sins and my sins. He fulfilled the scriptures. He fulfilled this Psalm 22 for us because he loved us, and he has done it. He has conquered death, hell, and the grave. A little over a year ago, I entered into a mid-30s life crisis. And so if you don't know what that is, it's because I've made it up and I got a microphone, so it's real now. And within my mid-30s life crisis, I woke up one day like Forrest Gump and I just started running. I don't know why. I was just like, I gotta run. And so jumped on the treadmill, started running through the neighborhood. And you have to know, like, you can ask Pastor Roy, you can ask Mr. Townsend, how athletic I was in high school. You can ask Pastor Phil this as well. I was cut from the baseball team of Oakland Christian. There was a girl who made the team before me. It was not athletic. And so I just started running. And a little while after I started running, one of my best friends, Connor, he gives me a call. He's like, hey, I'm going to do a half marathon. And I was like, cool. High five, man. You go run that half marathon. He's like, you should do the 10K. I was like, all right. So I signed up for a 10K. And so ever since, I've just been running. And I know for some of you, you're like, that's gross. Running is gross. And I would agree. It is gross. It can be very disgusting. And it can be not fun. And there are times like, man, I am getting older, okay? And I am getting older, all right? My knees are feeling it. Got two kids. I tell you what, I stole this Bible. It's a terrible thing to say. I stole this Bible. I took this Bible from Pastor Caleb's office because I couldn't find my Bible. And I open it up, and the print's larger than my Bible. I am keeping this now. It's amazing. I don't know if you've ever used a larger print Bible, but you'll thank me later, all right? And so I'm going through Psalm 22, and there's so much. There's so much. And truly, you can't get through all of Psalm 22 in one gathering. But as I do, because running has become a place for me to find peace. It has become a place for me to clear my head. And for some of you, you have that place. Maybe it's going for a drive. Maybe it's doing an actual athletic thing. I don't know. But you have that place where you find peace and clarity. And so yesterday I went on a run and I'm just going through this psalm. I'm just like asking the Lord, like, what is it? And this passage of scripture just keeps coming and to my heart. And it's a passage of scripture that has meant so much to me for so many years now. And it's John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, what is happening here is that Jesus is about to leave. Jesus knows that his time has come. His time here on earth is coming to a close. He has fulfilled his time of walking with his disciples, preparing them, sharing who he is, sharing his teachings, the gospel with them. And he knows that he is going to come to Psalm 22. It is about time for him to fulfill the scriptures, the prophecies written about the Messiah. He is about to fulfill this on the cross. And so he begins as he's talking to his disciples in verse 1 of John chapter 14, and he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. And I love this because I look to David, I look to his lament and his hopelessness that he is experiencing in this time in his life. But then I look at myself, and if I'm honest, I have experienced times of hopelessness, even as a pastor. There have been times where I have struggled, where things didn't work out the way I had planned, where, man, I just missed the mark when I was sitting down with someone, or my heart just breaks because of what's going on in a family, or maybe for you, it's someone getting that diagnosis, or a family member walking away from the Lord, or that financial burden that you didn't expect. You can fill in the blank, but the reality is that we have experienced times where life has felt hopeless and the Lord has not felt near. That's the reality of life, and I want you to know that it's okay. It's okay to experience that trouble. It's okay to experience that hurt and that hopelessness. But what's not okay is not taking it to the Lord. And so Jesus doesn't leave it there and say, hey, don't be troubled. Good luck. High five. See you later. No, Jesus says, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. And here comes Thomas, and I love Thomas. Thomas is not afraid to ask a question. He's not afraid to seek and look for an answer. He's not afraid to ask the question of why. And I hope you know, just as Thomas, that Jesus wants you to question. He wants you to bring those thoughts, those concerns, those questions of why to him. But here's the difference, is that we have to be obedient to sit and hear his response. We have to be obedient to sit and say, okay, God, here's my hurt, here's my concern, here's my questions, I don't understand, but now I'm going to sit and just wait upon your will to hear from you. And so Thomas says, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so this morning, as we look at Psalm 22, maybe the only thing you take away from Psalm 22 is that I hope you see Jesus. I hope that you look at Psalm 22 not as a song, not as just a simple few verses of David's lament, but I hope you historically and prophetically see Jesus fulfilling the scriptures. Jesus, the risen Messiah, the one to come who laid down his life, who was pierced for our transgressions, who took on the sin of the world, who reconciled us to our Heavenly Father, who was mocked, who was beaten, whose clothing was cast lots for. I hope in Psalm 22 that you now see Jesus in his fulfillment of these prophecies that were written 1,000 years before his birth. Maybe some of us here this morning, your hearts are troubled. Maybe like David, you feel that the Lord is far from you. Maybe you feel that you cannot hear the Lord and you are crying out to him to save you, asking for him to be near, to intervene. I would encourage you with the greatest words that we can ever be encouraged by, and that is the words of Jesus Christ himself. So let not your hearts be troubled, but to truly believe in him. To trust in him as the way, the truth, and the life. Do not look to the things of this world for hope. Because I don't know about you. Been there, done that. It doesn't. It doesn't work. The things of this world will only fail us more and more. They will only pull us further away from the Lord. But if we just truly sit in his promise, sit and know that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that we truly proclaim, as Paul writes in Romans 10:9, that he is our Lord and Savior, that we repent of our sins and we believe in him, then we will have peace and we can have hope in the hopelessness, in the lament, and that is only through Jesus Christ. And so this morning, that is our prayer. This morning, I pray that we would see Psalm 22 and that we would see the only one who has ever and could ever fulfill these prophecies. The only one who laid down his life for you and I. As he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was not a manipulation of this passage as those around him begin to see these things unfold. He could not manipulate the soldiers casting lots for his clothing. He could not manipulate the teachers of the law and the Roman soldiers to mock and beat him. He could not manipulate them to pierce his hands and feet upon the cross. No, this was simply a true fulfillment of the scriptures because he was and is Jesus. He is our Messiah who was prophesied to come, fulfilled the scriptures, rose from the dead, and is alive at this very moment. And it is my prayer that we, as we go through the struggles of this world, as we experience that hurt, that hopelessness, that lament in our lives, that we would hold true to his word, that we would cry out to him, and we would remember his faithfulness as David remembered his faithfulness to the people of Israel, that we would remember his faithfulness in our lives, that if you have truly confessed, then you can rest in the hope that he is present, that he is near, that he loves, that he is working, and we just have to be quiet and be obedient and wait to hear from him. Would you pray for me, church? God, we come before you. Father, I thank you for David. I thank you for his obedience as you moved your spirit in his life to pen these words here, this song in Psalm 22, prophesying about our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord, fulfilled only in him. God, I thank you. I thank you for the defense of the cross, to see the scriptures fulfilled in your Son. I thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on that cross, to be pierced for our transgressions, that you raised him victoriously from the dead, that the grave is empty. Father, for those who are here this morning or listening online, God, and maybe they are understanding that lament that David experienced, that hurt. Father, would they not be troubled, but would they trust in you? Maybe today's the first day that they truly believe that you are the Lord of their lives. May they just declare that wherever they are, that they believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And for those of us who have experienced that peace, who have cried out, who do believe in you as the Lord of our lives, who have proclaimed that you are our risen Savior, who died on the cross for our sins and rose victoriously, Father, may we continue to share the hope that comes through your Son, Jesus. And God, in our times of struggle, in our times of lament, of hopelessness, of suffering, God, may we be reminded of your scriptures. May we be reminded that you have already conquered and that in you we will experience peace and joy that surpasses all understanding as you continue to mold us into who you have created us to be for your glory. God, we love you, we praise you. Thank you for this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.